Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now it's the final days of our Everything's on Sale event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses. Our Memorial Day event ends Monday. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is hour number two of the early line on SportsGrid. I'm Kevin Walsh, joined by Donnie Rideside, and we have 7-7 once again. No, we're not going to run back the top stories. You know the top stories. The college football playoff could be expanding. Serena Williams continues her run at the U.S. Open. But, Donnie, we're going to be talking some passing touchdown props for quarterbacks here.
Yes, passing touchdown props. I love this. It's an offensive game, as we know, Kevin. And the guy that leads off right now. I mean, do we even have to waste our time here coming up? So go ahead and set the tone for this. Go ahead.
Oh, man, you're getting a little aggressive. About to jump the gun. Yeah. Seven quarterbacks, yeah. 7 minutes, seven over-under passing touchdown props. It all begins with Josh Allen, the MVP favorite on the Super Bowl MVP favorite. The over-under is 34.5. What do you think about that Josh Allen number?
I love it. 2 years ago in 2020, Kevin, 37 touchdown passes. In 2021, 36 touchdown passes. So why not go over? If I think this guy is going to be the MVP, which I do think he will get that, he's not getting it, Kevin, with 26 touchdown passes. Over for Josh Allen.
The interesting spot there is just how close Josh Allen was. For me, you look at the Bills this season, Brian Daboll 1 year out. I would lean towards the under. It's not Josh Allen slander. I just wonder, could things look a little bit different in Buffalo? And by the way, if they're going to be as good as everybody says they are, maybe they're throwing a little bit less ultimately there. Josh Allen will be playing in game number one of the season, and so will Matthew Stafford, the defending Super Bowl champion quarterback Matthew Stafford, just underneath where Josh Allen is, 33.5 for a prop, Donnie. And I'll just set the stage here. I think you have to lean towards the under because the lingering elbow injury. If Matthew Stafford misses three football games, it wouldn't surprise me. It makes me think under for the season.
Yeah, I'm going to do something foolish here, and I'm actually going to take the over 33.5. And ooh. I always tell myself, don't you bet into a guy that has injury concerns before the week one starts in the NFL. But I just look at last year, Kevin. 41 touchdown passes, goes to the Super Bowl and wins it. If he is healthy, if he shows, hey, man, look, I'm managing this thing, and I'm fine. Don't you worry about me. Then he's a shoo-in for 34 touchdown passes. So I'm going to break my trend, Kevin. I'm going to go with an over here on Matthew Stafford.
It's understandable. As you said, Sean McVay's offense, Allen Robinson is in there. I might be banking on injury, but again, I would be a little more frustrated if I said, give me the over, ignoring the potential for that elbow injury. Yep. Donnie's favorite quarterback to follow here, Tom Brady up next, 36.5 passing touchdowns through 43. Last season, also threw for 5,300 yards. Major, major numbers. Oh, boy. What are you thinking about this number here, Donnie? Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm thinking about delaying here for another 45 seconds to make sure the radio audience understands here what my take is going to be on Tom Brady. But since that's not going to happen, I'm going under.
Yeah.
I just, look, I understand. He threw for 42 years ago, 43 last year. He should get that to the NFL. He's Tom Brady. Way too many question marks for me for Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. Under on Brady.
I cannot believe you missed the opportunity to say that when he retires middle season, they're going to be able to cash your under ticket.
It's true.
But for me, it isn't over. He's thrown 40-plus each of these two seasons in Tampa Bay. Able to keep Leftwich in town. The skill positions only seem to get better. I think Tom Brady is back in that 40 mark. I think Tom Brady's got a legitimate shot at MVP. Radio audiences here, the early line, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, channel 159. How about Patrick Mahomes, 34.5, same number as Josh Allen, looking for a big season. Maybe he'll be in the MVP mix, second choice on the board for that. What do you think about Pat Mahomes at 34.5?
Yep. Now, the radio audience is in here, so they're going to hear this comment. Two people take off during football season, Kevin on Wednesdays and also Tom Brady during training camp. Now, back to Patrick Mahomes right now. Take a look at this. A 34.5 touchdown prop. Come on. Last 2 years out here goes over that 38 and 37. Sign me up on this. Look, I'm trying to fade Patrick Mahomes because he's going to be impeding my progress here on Josh Allen's MVP. Mm-hmm. But who is going under on Patrick Mahomes? Not me.
Certainly not. Certainly not. We know the first year he was a real starter. He threw 50, missed it the next year, only played 14 games, but the following two was over this number. I think they're going to be throwing a ton, actually. I know it probably feels counterintuitive to the absence of Tyreek, but I think that's how they want to approach this year. And then I got three guys that don't necessarily fit that top group, but I think they're all worth discussing. Mac Jones, 22.5 in this New England Patriots offense. I mean, if this team scores 23 touchdowns, it'd be a stunner. Who's going over on anything related to the Pats offense?
Exactly. How about 23 first downs on the season would be impressive by the Patriots from what we're hearing out of training camp and watching in the preseason. Yeah. 22. He's going to play 17 games. He has to. Like this. These are just sucker bets that we're going to talk about quickly. I'll go over 23 because that's ridiculous.
Last year, Mac Jones threw 22 touchdown passes, and everything seems to be worse. I'll go under. Maybe Belichick benches him. Jalen Hurts checks in 22.5. Donnie?
Now, if this said Minshew over 22.5, yeah, now we got something serious here. But Jalen Hurts, 22.5. Again, it's so low, it doesn't even make sense. If he's on a decent football team and plays the season, he better get that. I'm going over.
I think it's an under. He threw 16 last year. They're going to run a lot.
Oh, man, if it's
he
an
could
under,
miss a game or two.
I think it might be an under.
Quickly, our boy Trey Lance, 21.5. What do you like?
I got under 21.5 quarters. This guy's the starting quarterback out there in San Francisco. Under on Lance.
Oh, it's an over. Jimmy Garoppolo's not playing. We'll be back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Major League Baseball preview time right here on the early line, making it happen with you. Almost didn't have any baseball headlines, but plenty of baseball preview. Thankfully, enough here. Mariners Tigers is where it all begins. Eduardo Rodriguez, remember when he was supposed to be a Boston Red Sox ace? Goes up against Logan Gilbert and the Seattle Mariners. Mariners minus 164 on the road, total low 7.5. What do you think of this matchup early?
Under's probably a decent look here, but if we take a look at both of these pitchers' xFIPs, Kevin, over the last 30 days, they're astronomically high, 5.82 here for Rodriguez and over a 6 coming in for the Seattle pitcher. But first, let's take a look at what makes some sense in this, right? Rodriguez is a left-handed pitcher, xFIP number 5.82, which is really too high. He's only faced 10 batters from the left-hand side and has a 488 weighted on base percentage, but a small sample size here, and you're not going to get a lot of left-handed batters in the lineup today for the Seattle Mariners. But if we flip it over and take a look, he's faced 36 batters. Talking about Rodriguez from the right-hand side, Kevin, a 236 weighted on-base percentage. Now let's flip it over here to Logan Gilbert, a 6.35 xFIP, which is disastrous over the past month. Lefties, a 338 weighted on-base percentage. Righties, a 435. Perfect way to sink your teeth in to a team total. But we have to remember here, Kevin, this is the Detroit Tigers. So let's go ahead and play that game. I have, let's just see, listed here with statistics, because I do have a younger guy getting brought up. 327 is the number I'm going to use. How many Detroit batters in this game today over the past 30 days in Major League Baseball have a better weighted on base percentage than roughly an average one of 327 versus righties?
One.
Zero. Zero. So you have a bad pitcher on the mound. Now, Kevin, they fired their GM, right, Avila, about midseason. Who put this? I mean, honestly, he couldn't have been the only one that put this together. You can't have a, like, there's times where, like, you line the Marlins up and they look good. Arizona does have some pretty good statistics at times. Every single day, Kevin, we bring up the Tigers. It's the worst thing I've ever seen. Full season, 60 days, 30 days, 45 days, advanced numbers. Everything is horrendous about this Tigers baseball team.
I don't really understand. I'd like to go back and try and figure out, was Javi Baez the only reason that people thought the Tigers were going to be good? Because that's all I can remember about the
pitching
idea around the Detroit.
To step up.
But what, like, I just, where did it all go wrong? Like, 18th highest payroll in baseball. That's not a joke. It's in front of the Milwaukee Brewers. It's in front of the Seattle Mariners who they're playing. Ah, it's just, boy, it's not gone. It's not gone well for the Detroit Tigers. Ooh. It is what it is. Another team that's not gone well, though, for, again, certainly with the expectations, the Chicago White Sox. They're up against the Kansas City Royals, looking to put a win up on the board. These teams yesterday were in action. I believe they were in action. I could be wrong. That's what happens when you take off on a Wednesday. Nevertheless, it's an important set here for the Chicago White Sox. And Johnny Cueto has the ball. What do you think of this matchup here? Minus 225 on Cueto.
Yeah, forgetful team certainly is the Chicago White Sox, but you'll like this one, Kevin. I like to call myself out of time, so you're not on the air yesterday for a money line at the end of the segment. Very popular segment that we have. Everybody gives in their plays. JP, the producer, throws in his play just to keep the people updated. Scott gave his play yesterday, which is usually when you give your play and I give my two plays or three plays, whatever I have. Yeah. So yesterday, Kevin, at the end of the show, I got like the Philadelphia Phillies team total over five. I think that one wins, and also the Chicago White Sox run line first five innings, which turned out to be a winner. Yesterday on Twitter, you know, I'm outside walking the dog. Somebody tunes in, hey, you know what? Missed your plays. What have plays do you actually have? And I told the guy, hey, man, I got the Philadelphia Phillies team total and the Seattle Mariners run line first five, which I did not have, and it lost. So I had to apologize to that first guy. I mean, what am I doing here? And the best part about it, you will like this. Hold on. You'll like this story even better. So at night, like, I text this guy, I don't know, I'm saying sometime around like dinner, because I tweeted out that I had the Brewers team total over, which came in yesterday early in the day, and I had two games left. Yeah. And that was the question came up. Kevin, I'm sitting at home and I'm watching this game, like getting the updates. Like, oh man, I can't believe I lost that. I hope the Phillies win later tonight so I like get my money back. I actually wasn't even rooting for the play that I bet and sat back and looked at. It didn't even come. I rolled out of bed this morning. Go, hold on now. I actually had the White. I had to run down and check and log in and be like, I won. I said, what an idiot I am, where I gave a losing play out. Meanwhile, on the radio, I gave the play out and bet the play that won, and I didn't even root it in because I forgot which play I actually had at the end of the night. So make a long story short, this one, under in this ball game between the Royals and the White Sox. There you go.
There's your breakdown. No further questions. Yeah.
I can't even believe that's one of the first times that's ever happened. I gave the wrong play out. It lost. Came down and woke up to someone go, hold on. No. I actually had the White Sox log in a little bit more money in my account than I expected. But I was cheering along with this guy who I told this play was to, and it lost, figuring I lost it as well. And I never even had the play. Unbelievable stuff, man.
That's a pro town move, though. DRS. You give the TV audience one side. Give the radio audience another shot. Yeah. You're like, listen, we're going to clean up here either way. We'll get the appropriate clips out and let them know that you were all over it. The Athletics and the Nationals are playing one another. Why? What's that about? I mean, why even bother? I mean, what's the 10-run rule in the Little League World Series that you're such a big fan of? Can we try to put that in here between the Nats and the Athletics and just wrap this game up? It's about pick. It's totals 8. Is there value in this game? Is that Waldichuk on the mound?
Yeah, Waldichuk. He's a past Yankees former pitcher. Espino's on the mound. Now, to answer your first question, what is this game doing on the card? It's very simple. There's 8 games in Major League Baseball. We got 2 segments. This one had to get in, and this is a horrendous baseball game. Espino's a bad pitcher, but you take a look at the offense here for Oakland. It's equally as bad. And handicapping Waldichuk coming up here from the minor league system, it doesn't get much better. But also, Waldichuk has to be like, hey, if I'm going to get brought up to Major League Baseball and make a nice debut, who do you want to go up against? This horrendous team that you're going to face with the Washington Nationals. So for me, 2 bad baseball teams. Usually, Kevin, I like to bet to the over. I'm going to take the under because it's just bad baseball today.
Now, do we think Waldichuk, that we think that's Waldichuk? I mean, are we? I want to leave all options open.
Don't chuck
here
on that one.
Waldichuk. All right.
Brian.
Yeah, I mean,
little Brian.
Where is he on? Is he on today's card today? Where's the Red Sox here at? No? Oh, Rich Hill has the ball. We'll see if that game's worth mentioning. But a game that is worth mentioning, it's the Dodgers and the New York Mets. Bassett has the ball against Clayton Kershaw. I got to tell you. Now, maybe you're going to, because I got to leave the door open for you to come out and tell me the numbers are wrong here. But this feels wrong to me that Kershaw is a minus 140 near favorite at Citi Field. Again, unless people believe that home field advantage means nothing in baseball, which I do not think is accurate. This number on the surface does not look correct to me.
I mean, basically off of a month here for Clayton Kershaw. So we don't really know what we're getting back. And you're right, Bassett is a pretty good pitcher. But I guess you're still looking at it saying, like, even yesterday, right, Anderson versus DeGrom. The game was a 2-1 ball game yesterday with maybe the best pitcher in baseball, DeGrom, on the mound against. I understand Anderson's having a pretty good year, but he's not that good of a pitcher. So I can see where these lines are coming in saying the Dodgers just win. It doesn't matter who's on the mound. Now, with Clayton Kershaw, what does that mean for us tonight, Kevin? We can't anticipate he's going 6 or 7 innings, maybe 5 at the most. So if I'm looking from a betting perspective, I automatically lean towards the New York Mets being at home here against Clayton Kershaw, who might dazzle for a few innings, but he's not out there for the long haul today.
It's just, how? Again, like, because you know how Walker has those underlying really bad numbers? Does Bassett have those?
Yep.
To you?
No, he really doesn't have underlying terrible numbers here. If we're looking at the last 30 days for Bassett overall, I mean, his xFIP is a little bit higher than what you would like at a 4.16, but outside of that, Kevin, dominant against right-handed batters. Lefties at 347, but his ISO power numbers, Kevin, which is really what you should be looking at over the past month, 082 to lefties, 025 to righties. No, it really doesn't line up that way. It's just, it's a guy that you can just, you know, bash around.
It's just a surprise. I guess, I know Kershaw is Kershaw, but as you said, it's his first game since he left a game early with a back injury in the very, very beginning of August. Surprising number, but it is the Los Angeles Dodgers, so I guess that's kind of all the justification that you might need. We'll be right back. Preview some more baseball next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Major League Baseball preview continues right here on the early line. Let's look at the Orioles versus the Guardians, a important matchup when we talk about the AL wildcard race and the AL Central race, which the back end of that are certainly tied to one another. Shane Bieber has the ball. I feel like the least talked about ace in all of baseball, but he is a minus 190 favorite today and a total listed at 7.5 in this baseball game. Value on Cleveland, sneaky Baltimore. What are you thinking?
I think it's sneaky under here, Kevin. That's really the tone of the day so far. That's 7.5. It takes 8 to beat me. Here's why. If you take a look at these two lineups, could they get to 8 runs? Maybe they can. But just even Bieber, a 30-day snapshot for him, Kevin, an xFIP number of a 2.78 K percentage, around 28% low walk rate here. One of my favorite things, a ground ball pitcher, Kevin. Almost 60% of the pitches that get put into play are on the ground. That is sensational. And this weighs right into his weighted on base percentages. Bieber's a right-handed pitcher, Kevin, against lefties over the last month, a 228 weighted on base percentage to right-handed batters, a 215, and then an equally important ISO split here. Lefties an 082, righties an 050. That's tremendous stuff. But then if we flip it over and see how do we line up with the Cleveland Guardians going up against Bradish. Bradish has a high xFIP number at 4.76. So that's something to keep an eye on. But look at his splits. Now, he is a ground ball pitcher, doesn't strike out a ton of people, but look at this. 36 batters, Kevin. He's faced from the left-hand side. He is a right-handed pitcher at 281 weighted on base percentage and an ISO of 0 to right-handed batters, 305 weighted on base percentage, which is still good. It's below the average of 325 and an ISO of 143. I don't see very many runs coming across, particularly from the side of the Baltimore Orioles because of how good Bieber's been, but that 7.5 should be in play. I'll take the under here.
I feel like we're hearing a little more unders from you recently. Is that maybe it's just jumping off of the page, or are we back to bad lineups? Are we going to start questioning the baseball? What do you think might be leading to that?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, you know, you're trying to take a look at some of these. Maybe the last 30 days haven't been as good as what we were seeing like in June, July, and particularly for maybe that first part of August, because it has slowed a little bit. But when some of these really good pitchers are on the mound and the haves and the have-nots, it's trying to shut teams down. And also, when you're taking a look, as what I said, you look at a game like this, Cleveland and Baltimore, you lean towards the under. This is going to be played like a playoff game. This isn't one of those, like, hey, you know what? Seventh, eighth, and ninth, don't worry about the bullpen. We'll save it for tomorrow. Every win matters for these teams here, and that's the way they play it out.
Yeah, it certainly does. It's important baseball being played across the landscape, though this game coming up could be an exception. Rangers, Red Sox, Rich Hill has the ball there. For Boston, this is at Fenway Park against Glen Otto. But perhaps it could at least provide us some offense. Big time total here relative, I feel like, to a lot of these games with a 9.5 on the board. Is the total where you're looking?
I mean, total's probably the over. It probably makes the most sense here. Richo, how long is it going to go in this game, Kevin? 4 to 5 innings max. And that bullpen certainly hasn't, you know, impressed to the margins that you used to, or you, excuse me, used to looking at a Boston Red Sox bullpen. But take a look at Hill. He's handled his business against lefties, which is a left-handed pitcher. He's supposed to do that. But right-handed batters, Kevin, an ISO power number of 258. So if you're Texas, should be loading up on the right-hand bats. If we flip it over, and it's an underachieving lineup here for the Boston Red Sox, I think we can all agree. But Otto's xFIP number is extremely high. It's over 6. Doesn't strike out very many batters. Walks a little bit too many guys, so maybe have some traffic on the base pass. But again, a right-handed pitcher pitching to righties, he's got a 233 weighted on base percentage and an ISO of 107. Lefties slightly elevated at 337. So it's not a perfect matchup for runs, but you're right. If you're asking me, not any more runs than not, I probably would lean towards the over in this game, yes.
And Rich Hill has struggled this year at Fenway Park right now. That ERA, about 5.54 to be exact. Glen Otto's also someone who struggled at home, though. So interesting there, perhaps outside of Texas, able to find a little bit of a groove. But again, the 9.5 does jump off the page relative to a lot of the games on this slate. The Braves are going up against the Colorado Rockies. Strider is on the mound. Look at this. Look at this number, man. -405 on the Atlanta Braves. Speaks volume to the gap between these teams. Speaks volume to the respect that Strider has commanded despite being only a rookie. What do you do if -405? What are you doing with this?
Yeah, 3-2-3, Kevin, the last three games here, the offensive output for the Atlanta Braves. That should be due to change today because Chad Kuhl's on the mound and his xFIP is over 6. Light strikeout guy, walks too many batters. Splits are ridiculous. Lefties, a 349 weighted on base percentage, which isn't a disaster, but it's still bad. ISO power number to the lefties, a 318. That is a disaster. And then you flip it over, who Cool, again, is a right-handed pitcher, Kevin. 20 batters he's faced from the right side over the past 30 days. A 584 weighted on base percentage coupled with an ISO of 474. So it's one of those trifecta-type games, right? Atlanta first five run line, Atlanta full game run line, and Atlanta team total all lines up. Now, having said that, I said that a few days ago about the St. Louis Cardinals. You should do that. And they ended up with a loss and only scoring one run. But if Atlanta is due to break out, which they haven't hit very well the past three games, this should be the day that they do that, Kevin.
Now, I'll say a couple of things with this. One, a breakdown like that has been something that's been very tricky for me to process throughout the season. As people know, I've bet a lot of strikeout props throughout the year. And something that I've seen blown up in my face is when I have a guy with a low strikeout total, and Don is like, yeah, this guy's going to be rocked. And I go, you know what? Hopefully he can just kind of find his way. Chad Kuhl over 3.5 strikeouts does not look bad. But that's the thing with strikeout props is, you know, they don't bench R.J. Barrett if he gets off to a slow start, right? And you can't hit a points prop over. When it comes to a strikeout prop, if Chad Kuhl can't get any of the Atlanta Braves out, it's going to be a bit nightmarish. The other thing I wanted to bring up here, and I don't know why this is, and it could be just me, but do you feel like we are now once again at a point where, despite it only being three games, we're not feeling like the Atlanta Braves can catch the New York Mets? I don't know why that is. I don't know if it's because they had lost three in a row before their win yesterday, but despite only being three back, I don't feel like that is as a consistent of a conversation as you would think a World Series defending champion would be at this point in time.
Yeah, no, you're right, because I think some of that luster is sort of worn off where you're expecting the Atlanta Braves to overtake the Mets when they had that big run and weren't able to do it. Now you see healthy Jacob DeGrom and healthy Max Scherzer back. And also, we talk about so many times the strength of schedule heading down the stretch, which is certainly in the favor of the Mets' direction at this point. Now, looking at the FanDuel Sportsbook right now for division winners in 2022, the only division they actually have up right now is the AL East. So I would like to see actually what the numbers would be reposted at this morning to see with a Mets victory yesterday what that number would be. But you're right about it. Not a lot of people talking about the team, similar to what we talked about earlier in the show, the Tampa Bay Rays. Hey, they're six games back, but everybody thought they were dead and buried. Nah, it's not the same Rays team we're used to over the past couple years. Still a lot of baseball to play, but you're right. I don't have much of that same vibes where I told you at the break, I think the Braves are going to end up winning this division. I don't think so much of that right now.
Yeah, it's just been an interesting spot to follow. Though a decent couple of easier games come up here. They finish out with Colorado, then it is going to be three at home versus Miami, and then they'll play two in Oakland to start off a West Coast trip. We'll see how they can manage that. Last game on the slate for us to bring up here involves the Milwaukee Brewers up against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Slider number than maybe you would think when you see two teams like this match up. Minus 134 only on Milwaukee, but it's an Arizona team that I think Sneaky earns respect in spots we find at times, despite losing yesterday 18-2 to the Philadelphia Phillies. What do you think about Milwaukee and Arizona?
Yeah, if you're just doubling down and riding overs in that Phillies Diamondback series, did pretty well for yourself. But in this game, we see the number at the FanDuel Sportsbook listed at 7.5 as a total. Once again, takes 8 to beat you. I'm leaning on an under here. Merrill Kelly over the past 30 days, a 4X FIP, which isn't bad. Strikeout percentage at 24%. Good splits here, Kevin. Lefties, 309 weighted on base percentage, and righties, a 261. So if we flip it over to Arizona, now this is interesting. How many times have I told you, look at this, a right-handed pitcher's on the mound. We know that these lefties can really be stacked up in that Arizona Diamondbacks roster. But quite frankly, they haven't hit righties all that well now over the past 30 days. And if you look at Woodruff, strikeout guy, 26% of the guys he's faced over the past 30 days, he has struck out, a 3.86 xFIP number. Very good splits, 293 weighted on base percentage to lefties, 296 to righties. And if I'm looking at that lineup today, anticipated in there, even with all those lefties, Kevin, only two batters, McCarthy at a 358 weighted on base percentage and Walker at a 411. Everybody else is below that Mendoza line, as I like to say. So I'll be leaning on an under today, even with those offensive explosions that we've seen between the Arizona Diamondbacks and the Phillies over the past three games.
To make a point here on the NL Central race that to some degree feels over, currently no odds on the FanDuel Sportsbook, a six-game gap. You might look at this Milwaukee portion of the schedule, take it up to the next time they're going to see St. Louis, which will be two in St. Louis, and you think, man, this isn't bad here. Four at Arizona, three at Colorado, Giants come into town for two, and then you're at the Reds at home for three games. Again, that's really not that bad. Here's the problem. We've talked a lot about the St. Louis schedule, Donnie, and how easy it is supposed to be. Listen to these games that they're going to be having here. Three at home against Chicago, four at home against the Washington Nationals, three in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. The schedule for St. Louis just lines up so perfectly, and I think that's a big part of why it feels like we're talking about Atlanta. It feels like Milwaukee isn't even knocking on the door.
No, they're not. Six games back. Like, you're talking about six games back here between the Cardinals and the Brewers, and we're going like, that's ridiculous. It might as well be 36 games. But meanwhile, talking about the Yankees as a six-game lead over the Rays, like, hey, maybe you take a shot here. Nobody's talking about taking a shot with the Milwaukee Brewers. And credit to their front office who said, Kevin, this is good for us now and later. Yeah, and what planet, pal?
Yeah, I will. But it shows, right? A six-game lead, it's not always created equally there. Rays have some momentum. Yankees slipping and sliding. Cardinals, though, they've been beating up on the teams that they're supposed to, and it looks like we'll ultimately run away with the NL Central. College football, week one, we break down the Thursday slate next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back with you here on the Early Line. It's Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside setting up college football week one action. Thursday games here. And it's a good Thursday slate. I know some people hand wave the week zero slate. I understand, but this is a really good group of games that we have, Donnie. The best, though, is probably going to be Pittsburgh and West Virginia, or at least just the rivalry, the backyard brawl. People are very excited for this matchup. Pitt, the defending ACC champs, are a 7.5-point favorite here. The total is 51.5 for Pat Narduzzi's group. What do you think here between Pitt and West Virginia?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how you get over the losses of an offensive coordinator, a really good quarterback, one of the players of the year in college football last year, is now a first-round draft pick here for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the best wide receiver overall in college football, who's no longer playing for the Pitt Panthers, but heads out west to take on USC. But yet, they still find themselves, the Pitt Panthers, a -7.5-point favorite here over West Virginia. I liked having Joe Lisi on breaking this game down, because it is always interesting where you get a first look at a team and how they're going to be for a particular year. A lot of times you like to see some of these coaching staffs return, a lot of guys on the offensive line, quarterbacks. You have that continuity, which I don't think you have here with the Pitt Panthers, but attacking this different ways, because if you can find an added advantage here when you're talking about some of these guys that can score a touchdown, or even in the quarterbacks alone, Keaton Slovis at +280 to score a touchdown, JT Daniels at an 11-1. Give me a quarterback sneak here. I'm interested on how these two teams come out, particularly the Pitt Panthers. Is this one of it says where Narduzzi's just a really good football coach and they moved on, they have a quality quarterback to replace Kenny Pickett? That's what I'm looking forward to. Maybe a total of 51.5, but I would really like to see later in the day attacking some of these touchdown prop numbers. Look like they're pretty fun.
One thing I'll say, you know, for Pitt, right, is it's the best Pitt team we've seen since when Dan Marino was there. So here's the thing. I'm not telling you Kenny Pickett is Dan Marino, but Pitt is not usually going out there double-digit wins and winning an ACC title. There has to be some regression. The thing is, I think Pitt is well aware of that. And they're going to be adjusting their game plan and approach on a weekly basis a ton. This is going to be a team that runs the football. They're going to look to play defense and just run the ball. That's what they want to do. And where that is tricky, we'll talk props in a second, but where that is tricky when you're talking about a side of 7.5 is it's hard to run away from a team, right? Again, Pitt's up 14. West Virginia has the ball. Mm-hmm. Maybe a softer defense. I know it's a rivalry, but you're playing smart, not stupid. So you have to make sure you're keeping things in front of you. They're able to get a touchdown. They backdoor your number. Because despite the fact that maybe Pitt looks a better football team here, their offensive approach should be very, very slow and run heavy. That also, of course, would point you towards the direction maybe of a 51.5. But the number for me, Donnie, fascinating quarterback matchup here. JT Daniels and Keaton Slovis, both guys coming over from the transfer portal from big-time programs here. But it's Keaton Slovis, and it's under 249.5 passing yards. So this is a number that last year Pitt saw their quarterback flyover. Kenny Pickett was about 330 yards per game. But this team is going to be ran by Frank Cignetti Jr. coming over from Boston College. Last year, in the 8 ACC games, BC quarterbacks went under 200 passing yards in 6 of the 8 games. Under 200. 249.5 is not a number that I think they even want Keaton Slovis to approach ultimately here, Donnie. I'm playing his under passing yards right now at 249.5.
Yeah, it makes some sense on that, too. And also, I do like the fact that you get a first look at some of these teams. And the reason I say that, you saw Week 0 open up. It was the first game we had our attention on was Northwestern and Nebraska. For me, I said, if you want to stay in this football game for Northwestern, I said it earlier in the week, hey, slow it down, run it. Yeah, the quarterback threw for over 300 yards. And the good part about it is, Kevin, you're getting two quarterbacks in this football game that have been around the block. We'll see how these coaches use them here. But if we're looking again, just leaning on that over is never a bad option here. That 51.5, that's probably the way I'm leaning tonight if I'm looking for a straight wager.
Moving towards Oklahoma State and Central Michigan, the other one of the other ranked teams really involved here on this board. Oklahoma State so close to making the college football playoff last season. The problem for this group is how much talent they have lost. All in all, a defense that you could argue was the second best in college football. Nobody's obviously that Georgia defense was number one, but Oklahoma State may be better than everybody outside of the Georgia Bulldogs. A ton of talent. Hard Knocks watchers know that All-American Malcolm Rodriguez is now with the Detroit Lions. He is, again, one of many that have left, but clearly through these numbers, the AP ranking, expectations remain for Oklahoma State. What do you think about a 21.5 point spread here against Central Michigan?
Yeah, warm weather out there tonight. I believe it's about going to be in the mid-80s by the time they kick this game off, 58. Anytime you look at a MAC football team, what do we know about the MAC when you're doing that little, you know, synopsis of what that conference gives you? Tricky offenses here, but they play don't really play much defense at this point. It's, you know, 10 yards off the line of scrimmage. We just hope we keep it in front of us because big plays are abound. The reason I bring that up, Kevin, look at Oklahoma State team total here at the FanDuel Sportsbook listed at a 40.5, which means you need 41 points to cash in that ticket. It's a really good chance they probably wind up with that. But also, if we try to break it down, we don't have as many prop bets here as we had in the other two games like West Virginia, Penn State, and Purdue because they're two bigger marquee games. But you still have to have an ample enough. Take a look at this. Passer touchdowns in this. Spencer Sanders to throw two touchdowns, which means over 1.5, heavily juiced at minus 188. But if you're saying to yourself, Kevin, they got 41 basically to get to as a team total. That's 5+ touchdowns here. You don't think the quarterback can throw two? And on the opposite side, if we're taking a look at a team total here for Central Michigan, Kevin, it's 17.5, which means they're anticipating at least two touchdowns. How about this one? Now, this is heavily juiced. Daniel Richardson, over a half of a touchdown pass, which means you throw one, you got this. It's minus 250, so it's tough to lay. But my goodness, if you figure two touchdowns are coming from Central Michigan, one you would figure would be in the air. Yeah.
You would think so. I don't think you can parlay them again with all that juice, but if you could, I'm sure some people would be interested in that market. On the game overall for me, though, I've really kind of honed in on the Central Michigan team total. It's 17.5, and there's a number of reasons why, but primarily this is a quarterback running back 1-2 punch that feels above the MAC level. Daniel Richardson, 24 touchdowns to 6 interceptions last season, was excellent, and Lou Nichols III last year led all of college football, not the MAC, all of college football in rush yards. I mean, listen. You know I'm not above throwing a guy randomly in a race and seeing if something can jump off of the page there. Would they have to win the game? I don't even think there's a world where a MAC player can win the Heisman. See if you can keep digging, though, and find that number. Maybe he runs for 2,000 yards and things get absolutely insane. His rush prop tonight, by the way, is 80.5. I have no problem if you attack that number. The one thing I want to see is Kobe Lewis returns this year. Injured almost all of last season. Kobe Lewis the year prior was a 1,000-yard rusher. Do you ease up a little bit on LN3 and see then if this is more of a split role? So because of that, I'm interested in the team total. With all that Oklahoma State has lost, I think that they should be able to get three touchdowns on the board here, and I think that 17.5 provides plenty of juice. Some people might say the biggest game on this slate is Penn State-Purdue. Big 10 versus Big 10, lowest of the spreads we've talked about so far at 3.5. Total is 53.5. Returning quarterback play, Aiden O'Connell for Purdue, Sean Clifford for Penn State. What do you think, Donnie? Purdue hosting Penn State as a 3.5-point home dog.
Yeah, I'll tell you what jumps off the page here. Purdue's quarterback here expected to get close to 300 yards, where I think it's 298. I don't have it up directly here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, but we're expecting a big performance. And also Sean Clifford is no slouch as well. The mobile guy, if we're looking at that touchdown prop board here for Sean Clifford, a plus 210 price here to find the end zone. If I have Purdue, Kevin, and I know they want to throw the football, and I get it, it's opening night, and also you're taking a look at a conference game. This isn't one of those ramp-up games where Penn State will play Akron or Central Michigan, as we just talked about, or another directional school, as we like to say, like Eastern Michigan or so. I do think this game does have a legitimate chance to get over the total. That's the way I would look at 53.5 in this game between Penn State and Purdue.
Yeah, it's understandable. Purdue is going to throw. Penn State prefers to move quickly. And you were right on that Aiden O'Connell number, 298.5.
Crazy.
It points towards then what receiver help is Aiden O'Connell going to be able to get? Everybody knows David Bell left this football team, but it's not just David Bell. Milton Wright is gone as well. This is a team that lost their top three pass catchers. Brock Thompson, Donnie, we saw play a game without those guys last year in the Music City Bowl against Tennessee. And Aiden O'Connell went insane. He threw for an outrageous 534 yards. But here's the thing. I'm not telling you you're going to throw for 534. But who was the main benefactor? Brock Thompson. 7 catches, 217 receiving yards, and 2 touchdowns. That is a really, really important number to know, as his passing yards for tonight is 68.5. Donnie, if Brock Thompson is going to be wide out one for this football team, he should be able to get over that number. Because for perspective, last year, the wide out number one in Purdue was David Bell, 70-plus receiving yards in all but 2 games. So, again, the juice should be there. There's one more game I wanted to bring up. I don't know if we have odds for it yet, which is Wake Forest and VMI. But this is less about who do you like in this football game, and it's more about the importance of this game in the long run here. Wake Forest, you'll notice is, oh, look, a ranked team in action, number 22. What's the deal with Wake Forest? No Sam Hartman. Sam Hartman last year, listen, I don't want to say he was a Heisman contender because he wasn't, but he did have Heisman-level statistics, it felt like. And maybe this year, if Wake Forest was able to repeat their phenomenal season once again, he could enter the conversation. Last year helped you fly over a Wake Forest team total over the course of a season. This feels like an important game when we talk about projecting Wake Forest long-term week to week here with now Sam Hartman not available.
No, and you're correct about this. And also, let's keep in mind in the ACC here, this is going to be a team that's going to be a thorn and maybe some team side that you didn't anticipate. And maybe where you play Wake Forest as opposed to, you know, when. Because if you have them early in the season with no Sam Hartman, all right, maybe you have a little bit better of a chance to beat that football team. But if you play them late, well, that's a pretty formidable opponent. You're talking about a guy that was probably going to be voted in as the, you know, early ACC favorite to be the best quarterback, or at least, you know, first team quarterback for that league. If I look at this game overall, it's still a high total too. 67 is an opening number, Kevin. We'll wait till the FanDuel Sportsbook actually posts the official number, probably get it a little bit later today, but we're expecting points. And just because Sam Hartman's a great quarterback, that same offensive philosophy is still in place. Yeah. Let's see if a younger quarterback can do some damage here.
Yeah, we'll certainly keep our eye on that. Speaking of quarterbacks doing damage, Russell Wilson just did damage at the bank. Extended by the Denver Broncos. How about 5 years, $245 million? The breaking news on that extension. He is going to be getting $165 million guaranteed, as Adam Schefter reports. And let's be honest here, because I hear it from Donnie. Lamar Jackson watch continues, does it not?
You can't. NFL, thank you so much. You want to talk about a perfect segue to listen up in the next segment where I talked about Lamar. We're going to talk about Lamar Jackson's contract. Fuel for the fire, baby. Lamar Jackson is going like, ha, pay me my money.
Let's tell you this right now. Apparently, Don is always going to talk about Lamar's contract in that segment. So what an absolute gift there from the NFL. Awesome. That's your college football breakdown. Donnie, as we just said, we'll close it out. Make sure you listen up right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Final segment of the day here for the Early Line for a Thursday, a football Thursday, right here on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. Donnie Wrightside, Kevin Walsh, as always, taking you through from 7 to 9 a.m. before we hand it over to the Morning After and Ben Stevens and the rest of your Sports Grid programming throughout the day. Now, we talked a lot of topics today, had some good shots here at college football. Joe Lisi came on the show, broke it down for us, had a lot of fun with that. Talked some NFL quarterback topics, who's going to throw for a certain amount of touchdowns, who's not going to do that. But I did want to talk about Lamar Jackson and some massive breaking news. So listen up. Now, we've been waiting on Lamar Jackson to sign a massive lucrative deal, maybe second or third highest paid quarterback in NFL history, dealing with Patrick Mahomes, $500 million contract, and as we know, a $250 million fully guaranteed contract for Deshaun Watson in the same division as Lamar Jackson. But as breaking news would have it, earlier this morning, Russell Wilson was first to the cash register. Take a look at this. Five-year, $245 million contract extension, but it's not all guaranteed. It does include $165 million that is guaranteed. So now this deal with the extension included 7 years at $296 million for Russell Wilson. So where does that leave Lamar Jackson, who said, basically, I need this contract to be done before week one, or we're not talking again throughout the regular season, which Lamar Jackson is scheduled to make $23 million this year in the final year of his contract. Now, the interesting part about this overall is we always thought he would get that deal done, but every one of these quarterback deals that are coming in now is pushing the brick higher and higher for that front office and ownership group for the Baltimore Ravens. You're going to have to pay Lamar Jackson a ton of money, and the longer you wait, the more money you're going to owe Lamar Jackson. So Russell Wilson gets his money. We are waiting for Lamar Jackson before week one to get his record-breaking extension. Boy, it pays to be a quarterback these days in the NFL. You know what else it pays to do? Stay with us on the Sports Grid Network throughout the entire day. We got you covered. College football, week one.
What's up, Foos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now it's the final days of our Everything's on Sale event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses. Our Memorial Day event ends Monday. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big now.